Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Good morning and welcome to The Public File. I'm Kim Kaplan, and today's program is committed to supporting organizations who are actively creating a more diverse, equitable, and inclusive environment, not only in the workforce, but in our communities. My guest today is Jose Emmanuel Vega, Director of Health Services for the Sacramento LGBT Community Center. Thank you so much, Jose, for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Well, good. I'm glad. I'd like to start by stating that this is fairly a new position for you, and you're also new to California, correct?
I am. Yeah, it's a fairly new position, and I'm honored to be part of the Sacramento LGBT Community Center, and I'm new to Sacramento South. I'm from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Tulsa, Oklahoma. That is quite a ways from Sacramento. What led you to the Sacramento LGBT Community Center?
So I've worked in the LGBT community since I was 20. Back home, I was born and raised in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I was deputy director of the LGBT Center there for 8 years. Yeah, 8 years. I had to flash back because this COVID thing has got me all...
The last year has been quite a blur for sure.
Yeah. But yeah, I was there for 8 years and I love working and helping the community, the LGBT community. I'm honored to move from one center to the other.
Yeah, and halfway across the country too.
Yes.
Now, as Director of Health Services, how has your organization navigated through COVID? And how are the LGBTQ community and individuals handling it?
Yeah, we offer free COVID testing Mondays and Tuesdays from 5 to 7. And this is a project I spearheaded as soon as I joined. We started seeing a number of clients coming in, getting tested, the staff. COVID-19 has resulted in higher levels of housing insecurity, financial stress, mental health. So we're really excited also to be opening up a new sexual health clinic out in South Sacramento. We've applied for several grants to help this financial stress. And we launched our new mental health program, and it's through telehealth, free counseling services for the community.
That's so, really amazing. Has the new center already opened?
It has not yet. We're still finishing up a few things. We are seeing clients now through there. So we did a soft opening where individuals can come in, get tested for HIV, STD, three-site panel, and a referral site. But soon, I hope by the end of April, we have it launched with a ribbon cutting, press release, and everything.
What is the difference in terms of how you facilitate services between the Sacramento Community Center and this new center? What is it that prompted you to move in this direction?
I'm really excited and honored to be part of this amazing project with the center and see the expansion of the center and broadening their reach. And so the South Sacramento has a large disproportionate amount of Black and Brown folks suffering from mental health disparities, from sexual health, and the health clinic will provide free HIV, STD, and counseling services, PrEP and PEP referrals, transgender medical and legal services. So we wanted to dismantle these health disparities in the community and educate more and help our growing LGBTQ population. So it's a good reach. It is a good expansion of the center and helping more individuals that are being affected by COVID, by lack of resources, lack of medical needs. So we're really excited.
On that note, you know, the barriers for the LGBTQ community that is African-American or Latino, right, are a little bit higher. Why is it? I mean, is it primarily poverty level? Is it primarily where they live?
So many LGBTQ Black and Brown folks POC, Latinx, African-American, they do live under the poverty line and have limited access to health resources and face negative stigma when receiving health and housing services. The LGBTQ community population are already at increased risk of depression, anxiety, and suicidal ideation. So the isolation, the loneliness, physical distance of COVID, of even discrimination, not acceptance in the communities, and then even going to a physician and a trans individual who goes in and says, I'm just here for healthcare. Well, we've heard they don't know how to treat this individual, or they don't know how to, what medical needs they are in need. And so we want to eliminate, we're eliminating all LGBTQ health disparities and enhancing the efforts to improve LGBTQ healthcare necessities and ensure that the community is a long-lasting, healthy life with no discrimination or fear of having to disclose their orientation, no need, or having the fear of, I might be discriminated, I might be turned, I might be receiving less effective health care because of Black, Brown, LGBT, trans, whichever it is.
Yeah, I mean, because it's already hard enough, right?
Yeah.
And so this center that is in South Sacramento is really doing what you're doing now with the Sacramento Community Center, but it's going to be more accessible to that demographic.
Correct. Yeah. Many community members aren't able to make it all the way to Midtown. It's a bus ride and then a walk, or it's too far. So even for Lyft or Uber, whatever factor it may be, transportation wise, so why not bring the center to that community? And so that is why this new location out in South Sacramento, it'll help that community where that barrier of transportation has been eliminated. No need to go to Midtown, where sometimes it could be confusing to people and just get lost.
Yeah.
And it's more accessible. So they're expanding the reach, and we hope to also be opening several around Sacramento areas. Probably one in North Sacramento and West Sacramento.
And oh, that's great.
Continue the expansion and the continuous work that we need to do.
So the pandemic has definitely caused a lot of unemployment issues for everyone, you know, many Americans. Obviously, there is discrimination that already exists, but does your center help to navigate through unemployment for the LGBT communities?
We do have resources. So there's already many organizations helping and who are expertise on these topics. So what we do is partner up, connect with these other organizations that are already doing amazing work, and filter our LGBTQ community into those systems, into those networks, with a warm handoff, with a warm connection. And that's what we want to do with our community. When they come to us, they know that the LGBT Center is a safe place to be completely who you are. And if we do a referral, and when we do in partnership, we do a warm handoff connection to the next organization that will help them in a particular need. And they've been vetted through us. They've been trained. They understand the LGBT community. So therefore, the community itself feels safe when we do these hands-off and transitions. So we do provide a lot of resources, a lot of partnerships with other organizations that have helped with unemployment, with housing insecurities, food necessities, health, and services that we provide and other organizations provide.
That's really fantastic. Now, as the director of health services, What barriers or what is the hardest part for the LGBTQ community in accessing and receiving effective health care?
I would have to say it is going through an LGBTQ affirming physician, primary care physician, and then also with insurance. Those barriers of not knowing if the medical office is LGBTQ friendly. The physician is LGBTQ friendly. If the insurance that they are applying for has trans benefits and how much of it, knowing that all of these systems are against Black and brown trans folks and so many barriers, what we want to do is eliminate as many barriers as we can and make it as easy as possible for all LGBTQ individuals to access the health care they need.
I was reading somewhere that, especially in the transgender communities, it's very difficult to find healthcare providers that understand their needs, which I was just like, wow, that, you know, you don't really think about it until you have to think about it, right?
Yeah. We, as cisgender individuals, we live through this privilege of not knowing or needing trans care. And what we have to do as advocates for the trans community is use our cisgender privilege to educate and elevate the voices of our trans community and continue educating physicians, medical offices, doctors, primary care staff on educating them about the trans community and the needs that they're just a human being individual. This is their identity. You treat each one as a human.
Right. That's absolutely necessary. You're listening to The Public File. Today's focus is on those organizations who are actively creating a more diverse, equitable, and inclusive environment in the workforce and in our communities. Thank you for joining us. I'm Kim Kaplan. My guest this morning is Jose Emmanuel Vega, Director of Health Services for the Sacramento LGBT Community Center. Jose, thanks again for being here. This is really important information. I've read that more than one in three LGBTQ Americans face discrimination just in this past year. Those are astounding numbers.
They are, and it's constantly growing. It's constantly perpetrating this fear among our community where they're not accessing healthcare because of those negative experiences and traumas, and therefore, the LGBTQ community adults are higher rates of chronic conditions such as cardiovascular disease, cancer, mental health, HIV, AIDS, obesity. So when LGBTQ individuals don't have access to health, they fall even more in these diseases and conditions. And therefore, we continue. They don't live a long, prosper, healthy life. Lack of health care,
and it especially has an effect on the younger generation as well, as individuals of color. But I'm reading and learning that the younger generation, because they really don't know what to do or where to go, and because this trend is just rising in terms of discrimination, it's been even more difficult for that generation.
That's correct, yes. And therefore, that's why it's continuing to add these numbers, and numbers are going up because our youth are experiencing firsthand negative experiences as youth and teens who are coming out, who are finally seeing themselves on TV, seeing identities, seeing activists, and finally they have a representation. And when they have the courage to come out to do their next step of transition of becoming who they are and then go through the medical services, they find out it wasn't as friendly. It's not what they imagined, a journey that they had imagined. It was a negative experience. And what we're wanting to do is eliminate all of those. So we are so excited to also have hired a new advocacy education director, director of advocacy, who will be providing training with the medical staff that I've been working with, the partnerships that we've been working with, and provide LGBTQ competency training.
And on that note of advocacy, how does your organization help advocate against discrimination when it comes to just public knowledge? You know, just the public understanding these challenges? Not just healthcare providers or even the communities that you work with, but it's important to also let the public understand, you know, how do you educate them on this?
Here at the center, we love to, that's part of our mission, to make sure that the Sacramento region is a region where all LGBTQ people can thrive and feel safe. If any negative experiences or result or any negative situations occur, you can call the center and file an incident report where we will be more than happy to partner up with these organizations, educate and train and help individuals. So what we've noticed is just the lack of education and training within all aspects of health, of housing, of public accommodation, employment. It's just a lack of education, lack of knowledge. And we're more than happy to come in, provide the tools that these organizations and medical staff need to be able to help us with the LGBT community and thrive and eliminate those barriers and ignorance.
It's so important. What do you think the biggest challenge is for your organization when it comes to advocacying for the LGBTQ plus community? What challenges does your organization face? What do you need?
I probably can't answer that question as I started in October, so I'm only 6 months in. About 6 months in. But what I do encourage everybody and folks to do, if you have some time, I think volunteering at the LGBTQ center is very important. And knowing that we are, we're growing and we do have a good substantial amount of staff, but yet there's so much work still needing to be done. And I think if you are interested in volunteering, if you are interested in an internship, if you are interested in just being a trainee or something, just get involved. I think that would be, as 6 months that I've been in, I think volunteering would be great. There's so much stuff that I have been able to accomplish because of the volunteers, such as the COVID testing. COVID testing now is literally ran by a group of volunteers who show up every Monday and every Tuesday, and from checking in patients, to checking out, to crowd control, to helping administer the self-administrating COVID test. We've trained them all, and they all show up. They're happy to be there. We hope to be a vaccine site. I know there is talk with the county and other state health, public health officers about having the center become a vaccine site. We hope to accomplish that. But right now, it's only through testing. So the Sacramento LGBT Center and Sacramento Covered have partnered up to offer these free COVID-19 self-administrative tests every Monday and Tuesday from 5 to 7. And no appointment is necessary. You're in and out within 15 to 20 minutes. And then your results are emailed and texted to you within 48 hours.
Oh, that's great.
What we have been encouraging folks, we do encourage folks who have received the vaccine to get tested. Even if you're asymptomatic, you may be a carrier and still pass it on. And there's so much more strength coming out and all these new studies still. And like the CDC has recommended, to still wear masks, still practice social distancing. Why not do another step and just get tested just to make sure that you're not compromising anybody that probably hasn't gotten the vaccine yet. So I would say volunteering right now.
Well, and that's kind of how you got started, right, as a volunteer?
I did, yeah. When I was 20, 21, I started volunteering at my local LGBTQ organization and volunteering at Pride and just being part of it. Essentially, I was offered to be on the board, and then from the board, staff, position opened, and I just worked my heart out for the community. I was wondering if I could throw one more thing in.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So the Sacramento Center is still offering HIV testing, and we're offering it in three different ways. We have our Midtown location, Monday through Friday. That is 1015 20th Street. And we also have our South Sacramento location, which is 7725 Stockton Boulevard. And we know that sometimes transportation or you don't feel safe going out still because of COVID, we now offer free at-home HIV testing kits. And all you have to do is register online, saccenter.org, under the sexual health tab, fill out the form, and we will mail you discreetly a HIV testing package.
That's great. Thank you so much for including that information. For folks that might be interested in volunteering with your organization, how can they sign up or what's the best place for them to go to get more information?
I would, visit our website, www.saccenter.org. And then I believe there's a section, join or get involved. And there'll be a whole drop-down section where you can volunteer, click for internship opportunities, or even some job postings. If you've been ever interested in wanting to be part of the community and you're passionate and you want to work for the community, I feel like I'm a servant to the community. I'm here to serve and here to help. So if you have that passion, come on board.
That's awesome, Jose. And thank you so much for everything that you do and for joining me this morning. Jose Emmanuel Vega, Director of Health Services for the Sacramento LGBT Community Center, and soon to be at a location near you, right?
Yes.
You can learn more about the organization by visiting their website, saccenter.org, correct?
Correct.
All right. Correct. Thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
This has been The Public File. Today's program is committed to supporting organizations who are actively creating a more diverse, equitable, and inclusive environment, not only in the workforce, but in our communities. If you'd like us to cover your nonprofit, send an email to sacpsa@intercom.com. Thank you for joining us. I'm Kim Kaplan. Stay safe, stay connected, and thanks for listening.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.